right there. I love that part in the fourth verse right there, down the second stanza there. It says, His perfect salvation is wonderful love. I shout with me, don't I? I know that's what Bo's doing right now. He is shouting with millions and millions of folks that's in heaven with him right now. And you know we're going to miss Brother Bo, but you know we know he's in heaven. We know he's in heaven, but you know we need to continue praying for that family. And we have been praying for them, and pray for Sister Nell. We need to, you know, lift her up in our prayers too this morning. But it is good to be here this morning. And Sister Nell told me personally, she said, Brother Wayne, y'all go have the best service ever. She may have told y'all too the same thing, but she wants us to have a good service today. So we will have a good service today. Amen. But anyone else you'll lift up in prayer this morning? Yes, Sister.
My sister.
Oh, your sister, yes. Brother Royce. How's she doing, Brother Royce?
Not doing.
Continue praying for Royce's sister.
I'm praying for my boss. She lost her dad.
Oh. Pray for your boss. Anyone else? we need to, you know, continue praying for each other. And we all, you know, we got things we can pray for, but you know one thing we can pray for? We need to pray for our pastor. Always lift our pastor up in our prayers. But you know, we always have someone on our heart that needs the Lord and Savior. And, you know, praise God that, you know, that you know, Brother Bo, he's in heaven, but, you know, we need to pray for someone that is lost, and we don't want them to go to the devil's hell. We need to lift them up in our prayers. We always have someone on our heart for those. But let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time.
Grant, the boy that I keep having surgery
Wednesday. So y'all. Oh, okay. Yes. And you know, always continue praying for sister, you know, Chris's mom, Nedra. He said she wasn't eating very well this morning, but praying for her. And today is a special day. It's Chris's birthday. Today is Chris's birthday. Happy birthday, Chris. They come around
a lot faster when we get older.
But yeah, let's go in the Lord in prayer at this time. And Brother Greg, can I call on you, if you don't mind, you lead us in this prayer.
My gracious Heavenly Father, we're on a grateful opportunity to gather in your house today, Lord. We come to you with heavy hearts for a fellow member of this congregation. We lift them up because we know the power. That you can provide for them and for us, dear Lord, in each and every day that we serve you, dear Lord. But we also lift up the many people that are in need of you today, dear Lord. You know and understand the need that the people in this community, this state, this nation need you, dear Lord. And we pray that through you and through us that we might be able to bring those people to know you in ways that gives them comfort and gives them healing and peace, dear Lord. Please bless each and every one of us today and this day and comfort those that need comfort, dear Lord. Bless your son, so now pray again.
Amen. Amen. We know, let's do one more hymn right here, if we don't mind. And I'll play just a little bit of that and go for you. Is that okay, Brother Michael, for you? Look at page 638. 638. And let's sing a song.
I need you every hour.
Amen. That is so true, right there. I need thee every hour.
Yes.
Need thee every hour. But anyhow, we'll take our, if anyone don't have anything else, we'll take our, go to our Sunday school church. All right, we will go into our Sunday school church.
Everybody get one of these. What I'd like you to do during preaching, don't dare doing Sunday school now. Put your favorite one you'd like the class to do as number one, and your second pick is number two. And we'll, if you want to, just put them in the offering box as you go out the door, and we'll tally them up, and that's where we'll go in a couple of Sundays, okay? I'll go over just a second. Our first option being the Sermon on the Mount, probably the greatest teachings ever done. It's chapters 5, 6, 7 of Matthew. It's got the Beatitudes in it. And just things on what's important and what's not in life. The next one, you know, when we think of John, we think of the Gospel according to John or Revelations. But there's a book, 1 John, that has five chapters, and he talks about living in the light. Good stuff to study. The next one, Genesis, study of Joseph, who's a type and shadow of Christ. The coat of many colors, that one. Then the first 14th chapters of the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel led out of bondage. So many types and shadows in that of salvation in the church. And the last one, the first eight chapters of the book of Joshua, where they're actually going into Canaan, living in Canaan. So make your first and second choices. You, because you won't be here, and you, because you won't be here. Didn't get one, sorry. Oh, you got one anyway. Okay. All right.
I can step in the ballot box.
You can teach, too.
You won't do
it. All right, anyone a word before we get started this morning? A little hopping, well, I don't know if we will this Sunday, but maybe next Sunday, a little hopping, skipping in the 15th chapter of Romans. Paul's starting to wind down his letter and kind of get a little insight into Paul in these next several verses, his thinking, his plans, his motivation. He just kind of lets his guard down just a little bit, and I think we can get a little insight into Paul, the man himself. I think we'll be starting at verse 13, and before I read that verse, what's our definition of a Christian hope? Earnest expectation. Not a pie in the sky, but earnest, something we earnestly expect to happen. And he said in verse 13 of the 15th chapter, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." And I don't know why all week that word "fill" has stuck out in that verse. You know, if a glass of water's full, Nothing else is getting in there, is there? No. We should, we can, we have the opportunity to be full of that earnest expectation of what's to come. Our glass can be not half empty, half full, but full of that. In all joy and peace. Why don't we act like it? Why don't we look like it when we're in Walmart? Yeah. But he's promised us that, to be full of that hope. Yeah, which gets us through times like today. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. I got a question. Now he's writing to the church in Rome, right? Had Paul been to Rome yet? I don't think so. Which begs the question, who went there? Do we know? I did not run that down this week, but I wonder who did go there and establish that church in Rome. I mean, there's plenty of candidates, don't get me wrong, but I didn't really dig that out to see who went there. But he said he was persuaded that they were full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. And I don't really think the definition, you know, there's kind of two definitions of admonish. One admonish is to call out a fault. But I think it's more the other one, to edify, to earnestly plead for something. Yeah. He says, I'm writing you, but you guys are doing pretty good by yourself already. And I think that's part of the reason he wanted to go there so well. Two reasons he wanted to go there so badly. I think, you know, if we put it in today's term, this church was in Washington, D.C. I mean, where did all roads lead?
Rome.
To Rome. It was the capital of the world at this time. And I really think Paul wanted to meet these people who were standing up for the truth and trying to do what's right in the middle of the world, the crossroads of the world. What a challenge that was, but what an opportunity that was. Anybody who's anybody came to Rome sometime in their life, man. And there was that little church. Yeah. And I think Paul wanted to meet these people and pat them on the back. Yeah. You know, we don't find a whole lot of negative in this book, have we? Not like Corinthians. No. He's much more positive. He commends this church a lot. Yeah. But think about being a church in Washington, D.C. where all the, all the power brokers are. Yeah. Yeah. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some part, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul does go crazy with his long sentences in this chapter. It's like, time out, Paul, time out. I have therefore, verse 17, whereof I may glory through Christ, through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. What did Paul say he gloried in one other place? He said, I glory in nothing save the cross. Yeah. Yeah. He gloried in the cross. Nothing he did. But he said, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. He was not going to comment on any church that he had helped establish, was he? Basically saying it's none of my business. Yeah. Because, you know, there were, you know, we always think about the 12, but there were 70 sent out two by two. But Paul felt like he had a very specific mission, I'll use that word, no pun intended, in his life. And that was go to the Gentiles. But he'll say here in a few minutes to go to the Gentiles that have never heard. Yeah. Though mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, is that going to do? I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Paul was heading out in the wilderness, and I think he felt like that was his calling. He wanted to take the gospel where it had never been taken. Which probably cost him more trouble than if he hadn't have.
Well, I think on the road to Damascus, he was told that he was a chosen vessel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if there was a place where someone had already been preaching the gospel, Paul passed it by. Yeah. And I don't think this was done out of better than you, arrogance. It's just he knew what his calling was. That was to take the gospel where it had not been. Yeah. That's what drove him.
He was going where the work needed to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. He knew he had a long way to go and a short time to get there. Yeah. Someone else. Verse 21, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul never had liberty to go, did he? He wanted to go, but he never had the liberty to go.
And you know, the name of this church is Liberty Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And we have supported people that have gone out into other parts of the world, like Maryland, going to Haiti and Russia, and the doctors going where they go. I can't go. I'm too old and decrepit. But the people that have gone out and we support into places that I've never seen and never heard the gospel.
At one point, this community was a mission. Amen. We think we always were here, Brother Michael, but we weren't.
That's good to thought, though. This community is still a mission.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many. It's unbelievable how many are not in the church in Blount County.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom it, really.
Yeah, the number of unchurched is incredible in our little county. Right.
Michael, we realize sometimes, speaking for myself, sometimes we can get complacent in our little web of our fellow church members and all. But we get wake-up calls that how needy or how much need there is for the gospel just right here in Blount County. When I heard the news of the girl that broke into Holly Springs Church, and the way I understand it, when they found her, she was
naked. And we can't fathom that. I can't, in my mind, fathom that. But it lets us know that there is a need. We've got a young lady in our community everybody knows about. There's a need for us to reach out. And the devil will tell us they're too far gone. They, you know, society can't do anything with them. Nobody can do anything. God can do something with them.
Amen.
He can do something with them. And I just thought about that, that Paul realized, he realized that just like you said, he had a long way to go and a short time to get there. And I think sometimes we need to look at it that way, that we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And the short time is the time that we're here on this earth. That we don't know when the end's going to be for us. But that we take this and not just my carnal mind wants to block stuff like that out of my mind and just say, well, that's a lunatic. But God created that person, loved that person, and God can heal them. And boy, if we've ever got a mission, we have one.
Amen.
Yes.
Brother Michael, I appreciate the opportunity that we have through our church and special offerings and all to support those that are willing to go, because it makes, gives me an opportunity to be a little part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I appreciate the fact that you do that.
You ever tell a little child to sit in a chair and be still?
Every day.
Or ladies, you tell your husband to sit down and be still. Can't you picture, as Paul's been in a place for a little while, he starts squirming, starts getting antsy, starts thinking, yeah, gotta go. I think that everywhere he went, he never got, I know a few places he stayed a while, but for the most part, he kept his bags packed, didn't he? Yeah.
There was a field over there across the river that had been planted yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Take
care of the business here, set a few things straight, and then he starts squirming again. Just, I think that was inside him. It was just inside him. He had to go. He had happy feet.
I think about how driven he was, because look at what he was before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He persecuted, tortured them, went after them, went looking for them. And when he got struck, when Jesus appeared, why are you persecuting me? He knew then that he could never do enough. He could never do enough to make up for all the pain that he caused before that. And I think that drove him for the rest of his life. Just out of honor of the gift that he was given, the grace that he was given, the forgiveness that was given, he was going to give it everything he had to give.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of his life, he said, I've done as much as I could run my race. I think it's the same thing sometimes that motivates all of us. I know it does for me. Think often of all the opportunities I missed, of all the times I went left when I should have went right, when I should have said the right thing, when I said the wrong thing. And you can never make up for those things, but you can certainly, living forward, you can try to do better.
That's right.
And I think that's very much a motivator behind him.
Someone else. Would a psychiatrist have given Paul a label of a type A? Probably so.
Yeah.
All right.
He was always that type.
Yeah, he was. Yes, that's true. Verse 23, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, as far west as civilization was known. Paul had every intention of going there. He'd covered the Asia area But he knew there was this other field. And as far as land went before it hit the Atlantic Ocean, and to them, that was the end of the world at that time. That was his goal. And I think what he really wanted to do was to make Rome his home base to go to work out from, that church at Rome. Yeah. He'd make his journey in Spain, come back there, make another journey, come. I think that was his plan. That was Paul's plan. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But he had a little side mission first. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. The home church, we like to call that one, don't we? The home church, the mother church of all the churches. Yeah, because that's who sent Paul out, was the church at Jerusalem. For it has pleased them of, I'll say, the church at Macedonia, the church at Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. For it pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles had been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Wasn't a whole lot that Macedonia and Achaia could do, but they could help them financially, couldn't they? Yeah. They took care of their physical needs. There was a physical need. They could have prayed for them, yes. Could have and probably did. But they sent money to help them as well. Yeah. Might have been total strangers in one sense. Who knows? Wasn't like we had cell phones. Didn't have family get-togethers at Nakalula Falls. Distance was an obstacle here.
Yes.
But they heard that those saints needed help. So they entrusted Paul with the funds. When therefore I have performed this, I have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You know, Paul, as big a character as he was, always felt the need for every church he ever visited to pray for him. Yeah. He didn't ever feel big enough to do it by himself. He'd much rather have those churches praying for him. Yeah. I heard something I'd never heard before. I went to New Bethel last Monday night a week ago, I don't remember, to a revival service. And the end of the service, Brother Stanley Jones got up and said, "Now, church, I want you to pray that this evangelist has his message before he gets out of bed in the morning. And so he won't have to worry about it all day long." And I thought about that. Wow, what a neat thing to pray. Make it easy for the evangelist, church. Yeah. And I never really heard it put that way. But yeah, let's pray that he has the message before he gets out of bed in the morning. He won't have to worry about it tomorrow. Yeah. But Paul asked this church to be part of his ministry by prayer. Yeah. He never got too big in his doings that he didn't feel like he needed the church behind him. Yeah. "That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." That's an interesting phrase there, isn't it? He wanted prayer for his trip back to Jerusalem. I can't imagine it had anything to do with the funds he was bringing. I'm sure they would accept that. But I have to wonder, was he a little bit nervous just going back? I mean, he'd been out in the field. And, you know, the home-based church, I struggle with a word to use. Let's say they were quite conservative. And Paul might have been just a little bit of a rebel to them. Because he went. He would take off and leave and go. And it's almost like he's a little bit nervous here about going back home, that they would accept the work. There wouldn't be a big fuss about it. That you're off doing your own thing all over creation. Yeah. Not that he was going to back down from it. He was never ashamed of his Gentile work and the churches he founded. But he hoped that his trip went smooth. Let's put it that way. He did not want to have a beef back in Jerusalem. Yeah.
Well, he knew too he was going to be in danger in Jerusalem.
Yeah. The fellow that prophesied, how did that go? That bonds and chains awaited the man whose coat it was or something. I'm not getting it very close. You remember? He was somewhere and a fella took one of his garments or something that Paul had and said, bonds and chains await the owner of this. For paraphrasing that severely, I realize. Yeah. But Paul's a little concerned, going back to Jerusalem, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Maybe the other thing Paul was really praying for is he had the home church's approval to head to Spain. Yeah, that he had their backing. Maybe that's what he was worried about. Because, you know, the church is the ultimate authority on this earth. Yeah.
Brother Michael, a young minister gets affirmation from the church when they license him as a preacher. But then he still gets affirmation from the Lord when he's sent out to a church to pastor. He's sent out by the church. Mm-hmm. And then there's another affirmation that when he's there, he sees something, a work. So he's affirmed that he's doing what God wants him to do. He sees the benefits. And so we're constantly, as Christians, looking for an affirmation. That's not just our nature. It's the serious part of our accepting responsibility from the Lord. We want to see that it's acknowledged of the Lord that we're doing. We want to see the end results.
Sure.
Sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Paul, his affirmation of his work for the past, how long? Was it 3 years or something like that?
Yeah.
Would be in the hands of them at Jerusalem and their acceptance and in how they treated him. I believe he was looking at that too.
And he didn't want to carry the baggage with him of knowing that everybody at the home church weren't just real happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He wanted to know everybody was pulling for him and helping him and praying for him back at the home church.
He wanted liberty.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be the best way. But he wanted liberty to go from Rome, from the home church.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be the best way to put it, Pastor.
It sounded like he was praying for his mission back there to be successful because he mentioned that I may deliver from them that do not believe in Judea. There was a faction there that didn't want him to come back. They were non-believers and they were the opposition. That he could get through the opposition without conflict to get back to his mission.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to, you know, you never want to start to Aniana and have a flat on the bridge and roll. That's the opposition. That's a problem. You want your mission to be smooth and get get there and get it done and do what you're supposed to do.
Oh, he didn't want to go through Atlanta and get his flight canceled. He wanted to get in and get out. Maybe that's what it was too. Yeah, get in Jerusalem and get out.
I used to say that Concourse B of the Atlanta Airport was my second home.
All right, well, if everyone will look at these and put your number one and number two choices and just drop them back there, we'll get the word out before next Sunday. One other thing I want to cover next Sunday in Romans, and we'll be wrapping it up. I hope you've enjoyed Romans as much as I have. It's a great book. And I appreciate everybody's help this morning.